After we've seen those field trials, I'm going to move on a little bit to the lab work we did on using the anti-pathogenic nematodes controlling the subterranean termites. Okay, this is what I'm going to go through. I'm going to just talk briefly about anti-pathogenic nematodes and termites and materials methods and our results. So what is
the most important one is the transmission of virus.
Okay, in summary, insecticide treatment on long-lasting impregnated nets did not deter sand flies from feeding. The netting material with finer mesh generally provides a better physical barrier to sand flies. Sand flies are able to get through the 625 mesh, or the smallest mesh netting, even the ones that were treated, and did feed on the mice. And these results demonstrate that up to half the sand flies still survived. Knockdown and mortality rates generally were below 80% in most cases. Long-lasting insecticide impregnated bed nets are one aspect of an effective integrated control program consisting of other measures, including the repellents and so on. Acknowledgements at RARE, Phil was helped in a lot, and Toby Rowland, our super tech, and then the industrial partners, BASF, Sumisoto, and Vastergaard, Branston, and this funding was funded by the MidRIP program at Walter Reed. Gabby did give me her cell phone number, so if there are any questions that I can't answer, I've got my cell phone here and we can give her a call.
We have plenty of time for questions for Ed.
Yes.
Don't you think that the distance of this chamber was too small to assess the effect on biting? The result strikes me because long time ago we did this field bioassay, and where we volunteered and we stayed in 5 deadness, and we tried to predict flies coming to bite us. And with the impregnated bed net, mosquito standard, where some flies can pass through, we got like 100% reduction. And we had also another study where we used curtains, blocking doors and windows of rooms, and we had sticky paper traps. And we saw a lot of flies passing through, but we resulted with very low feeding rate. And eventually, when we did another bioassay, we found that by the time when they pass, like in a few minutes, they lost their ability to bite. And so I'm worried that the distance is too short that they still have the chance. But in real life, they are not going to get that chance.
You may be right in a situation where you putting nets up around a house or curtains in a house. By the time they get through the curtains and the time it takes them to get to their target may be a matter of several minutes to maybe hours. However, I think in a bed net situation, in this case, once they get through, it's 3 or 4 seconds before they actually have time to get to the sand fly. In a bed net with a soldier in it, it may be 10 or 15 seconds. And I don't think in that time frame that this assay is out of line for looking at the possibility of killing.
Ed, you talked about the mesh size. Is there any work with comparing mesh sizes with the repellents, such as DEET or Preparatin or anything along those lines?
Not yet, no. I guess the permethrin actually tends to work more like a repellent for sand flies. The other two are more knock down pesticides. And I've often in my own mind worried about the use of permethrin for sand flies, say in the military uniforms. In my mind, that drives them to the skin. So if they're not using the repellent, they may be actually getting exposed more to sand fly bites with the treated uniforms, because the knockdown, as you see, is not very quick. I think that if you're going to look at these bigger mesh sizes and want to keep the flies from going through, you probably need to look more at something that has a repellent effect as compared to a contact pesticide effect. Yeah, and it does need to be looked at, and I'm sure that's in the back of Gabby's mind and involved in her program and what she wants to do.
reproductive.
Right.
Does it have? Can it be below that, or it has to be at least 900 mesh to prevent physical?
Well, if it's below that, you saw that sandflies were going through the 625 mesh without any problem. So if you go below that, yeah, you're going to get sandflies going through. I mean, it's an idea of trying to come up with a net that the soldiers are going to use, because compliance with any type of personal preventive measures is very important. You may have what they need, but if they don't use it, and they don't use it because it's too hot, it doesn't do any good. So the idea here is to come up with some combination here that they will use and still prevent the transmission or the biting of the sandflies.
Does it work? Okay. Mm-hmm. In the republics of Central Asia and in the Caucasus. In the 1950s, up to 450 cases per year were recorded in Central Asia, and about 280 cases per year in the Caucasus. But due to the intensive control programs, the incidence of the disease decreased dramatically, and for the end of 1960, only a few foci remained active in Turkmenistan, here, in southern part of Kazakhstan, in Azerbaijan, and Georgia. Isoenzyme typing of Leishmania isolates from VL patients and dogs has shown that the disease in these regions is caused by Leishmania infantum. And the main reservoir of infection in Georgia are domestic and stray dogs, and foxes, jackals, and badgers are recognized reservoirs as well. Historically, Leishmania is in Georgia. Has been sporadic and confined mainly in the eastern part of the country. Several cases have been detected in the western part of the country, but these cases were thought to be imported from across the Black Sea. Natural foci of VL in Georgia are located at 700 meter above sea level, and currently the principal active foci of VL in Georgia is capital of Georgia, Tbilisi, and districts that are located around Tbilisi. This is Shida-Kartli region. Social economic conditions in Georgia during the past 15 years, as well as other factors, led to a critical situation concerning VL in Georgia. And since 1990, the number of cases increased about 15-fold, from 10-12 cases recorded annually in the early 90s to 174 cases in 2006, and the majority of these cases have been within new active foci in Tbilisi. You can see it in yellow color. These are cases in Tbilisi, part of cases in whole amount of cases that are in Tbilisi. In total, 725 cases were reported in Tbilisi during this period of time, from 1990 till 2004. And what's very important to mention, that two cases were HIV VL co-infections. About 55% of cases are children from 1 to 4 years old, and 18 cases 18 cases are from 1 to 1 from 0 to 1 years old, and 10% are children 5-14 years old. 17% are people under more than 14 years old. But we should mention here, and this is very important, that in the past several years there were reported many cases in adult population. For example, about 24% in 2004, about 20% in 2005, and about 22% in 2006. Due to the dramatic increase cases of BL in Georgia, we initiated a project, the activities, main activities of which were determination of the seroprevalence rate of Leishmania infection in humans and dogs, including stray and pet dogs, cultivation, preservation, and identification of isolated parasite strains, and surveillance of phlebotomine sandfly species within active BL foci, including study of their breeding and feeding behavior and identification of potential or proven vector. This study was performed in active foci in Tbilisi, and selection of humans and dogs population for investigation